I won't finish that in front of you all. But now, however, let us allow ourselves to be fed by God's Word in Scripture. Reading from the book of Proverbs. My child, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and abundant welfare they will give you. Do not let loyalty and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and of people. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew. It is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to the span of your life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for these things, and indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As I've noted in this fall series of sermons, statistically speaking, Jesus is about 100 times more likely to ask a question than He is to answer one. So I've been inviting us all to engage and be engaged by some of the questions that Jesus asked during His ministry. And today's question comes from the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus asks, why do you worry about clothing? One pastor and religious author, Martin Copenhaver, has said that Jesus does not want you to worry. And after all, Copenhaver says, Jesus in Matthew 6 says, do not worry. And that is true. Jesus did say, do not worry. But these three words in Matthew 6 do not stand by themselves any more than any little snippet of Scripture stands by itself. Because Jesus does not simply say, do not worry. He says, do not worry about clothing your body or what you will eat or drink tomorrow. I want to suggest that He isn't saying simply, do not worry. He is saying some things we should not worry about. But He knows people, and He does say that, you know, it's the Gentiles who stress about these things. So He acknowledges that humans worry. He is not instructing, I think, His disciples not to worry. But he is instructing us through them not to let worry be the focus of our thinking. Another author, Christian author, Stanley Jones, said, "Worry is atheism," but I disagree with that statement. To me, worry is not atheism, nor is worrying by itself a sinful act. I would suggest that worry or anxiety is an experience of what it means to be a human, and it would be only focusing on that that would lead us away from God and therefore be sinful. I'm going to ask you to bear with me, because in thinking through this sermon, I thought back to some of my philosophy classes in college. And I do remember that, 17th and 18th century were kind of, in the Western European world, called the Age of Reason, and kind of summed up by René Descartes' line, "I think, therefore I am." And my humanity in that day was thought to be proven by our ability to be rational. Our modern age, beginning earlier in the 20th century, I think is best described by the words of the poet W.H. Auden, who said that the 20th century was proving to be the age of anxiety. And it may best be described not by Descartes' line, but by a line from kind of that gloomy Danish philosopher Søren Kierkegaard, who basically said, "I worry, therefore I am." For Kierkegaard, worry is what it meant to be human in one sense. He wrote about his own anxiety. "All existence makes me anxious," he wrote, and I have to admit, there are some days after watching the evening news, I feel that way also. "The whole thing," he said, "is inexplicable. To me, most of all, to me, all existence is infected by this. My distress is enormous and boundless, and no one knows it except God in heaven, and he doesn't solve it for me." For Kierkegaard, worry was not atheism, nor was it a sin. It was simply the experience of what he called the dizziness of freedom, a natural experience of coming to terms with our freedom and the choices that confront us in our lives. It's our freedom to love God or our freedom to reject God, a freedom to face our fears or freedom to let them rule us. It is our freedom to seek to be the person God created us to be, or the freedom to be the person we want to be apart from God. Kierkegaard uses the image of a person standing on a cliff and staring into a great abyss. And he says we had the freedom to jump, which he calls the leap of faith, and to trust in God, into the mission of God, into the will of God, but we also have the freedom to stay on the cliff of our own autonomy. And facing that freedom, Kierkegaard asserts, is what produces anxiety in humans. Sin happens not when we experience that anxiety. Sin happens when we use our freedom to stay on the cliff of our own self-awareness, self-righteousness, and self-determination. Sin is not the struggle. Sin is not the anxiety. Sin is choosing in our freedom our will instead of God's. Let me go back to the text a moment. It is interesting to note that Jesus invites us to think about nature, the birds and the lilies, as he seeks to say something about what we should really be worried about. It's interesting, I think, because the natural world kind of epitomized and lifted up as in the birds and lily example. Nature is not capable of worry like we are. It's not free to be anything different than what God created it to be. A lily is not going to lie there in a bulb and say, I'm going to be an oak tree someday. A bird is not free to be a snake. They do not have the freedom to choose or reject God or God's intent for their lives and creation. Therefore, they are incapable of that kind of anxiety. They have no choice, and they don't even know they have no choice. They can only be completely obedient to what God intended them to be. That is what we are designed to do. That is what we should strive for. Maybe that is why Jesus invokes the image of birds and lilies. They are obedient, and they allow God to take care of them. We are called to be obedient and trust that God will find ways to take care of us. But let's be honest, it's easy for the lily, it's easy for the bird to be obedient. They have no option. They lack the freedom to be anything else, but we do. We have the freedom to choose to be something other than what God created us to be. That is why, in effect, humanity is no longer in a Garden of Eden. We can choose isolation, we can choose ourselves over God, we can choose to love God or reject God, we can choose to love or reject our neighbor, we can choose to love or reject ourselves. We are created in the image of God, yes. We're created to be in relationship with God. And God has given us the freedom to choose how to respond to that invitation to relationship. And that is what creates worry and anxiety. Some thinkers that have come since Kierkegaard have affirmed that anxiety is a basic human experience produced as a result of coming to terms with our freedom, but at the same time have also said that these other thinkers say the leap of faith that we should take is not into relationship with God, but into a trust totally of ourselves. Friedrich Nietzsche is one of those types of thinkers. And in his book, Thus Spoke Zarathustra, he describes a main character coming to a village that had two tall towers and strung between there was a rope. From one of those towers emerged an acrobat who dared to walk along the line. And all of a sudden, a clown comes out from the same tower as the acrobat and begins to shake the line so that the acrobat loses his balance and falls to the ground. The main character of this narrative by Nietzsche runs to the dying man and sees fears on the face, to which he says to the acrobat, "Friend, do not despair. There is no hell to be feared and no heaven to be gained. You have made danger your vocation, and all is well." And the man dies. For Nietzsche, as he explained this later, the tower that the acrobat left actually represented Christianity as he thought of it in his day, and the world it had come to create. The acrobat is seeking to leave that world behind and is on the way to a new one. And the clown to Nietzsche represented everyone who wanted to live in that tower that Christianity had built. The acrobat represents Nietzsche's vision of a superman, a person willing to leave superstition behind and take a leap of faith into one's own abilities to decide and to live, completely motivated by self-interest and desire. Both Kierkegaard and Nietzsche believe that the experience of worry and anxiety is a result of our freedom to choose. Kierkegaard invites us to choose God, Nietzsche to choose ourselves. And of course, for any follower of Jesus, we know that we use our freedom from time to time to do both what it means to be a follower of Christ, and at other times what it means to be a human being just on our own. So here's what I think is going on as Jesus speaks to us. It's not about purging away the experience of worry, because that will never happen. Medications, drugs, alcohol might dull feelings of anxiety and worry, but it is still there because our freedom is still there. And that is a gift from God. And as long as we embrace that freedom, we will always have worry in the sense of what is the best thing to do. So what I hear Jesus asking, and I think is the question behind the question about clothing, is, are you and I worrying about the right stuff? This is why I think Jesus goes on to say, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Don't worry about clothing or about food or about what you will drink tomorrow. Worry about the kingdom of God today. Worry about who God has uniquely called you to be. Worry about the things that concern and frustrate and bring joy to the heart of God. Friends, if you worry, don't worry about it. Because worry means you are fully alive. The encouragement I have for you this day and for the week ahead is to own your freedom to choose. And when you recognize it, the question will become clear: in my worry and anxiety, in sorting through choices, am I making decisions that seek first the kingdom of God, or am I making decisions that satisfy my own self-interest? Allow that question. Let us all allow that question to work upon us this week. For the sake of the gospel, and for the sake of the world in which we share it. Amen.